Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
Hello and welcome along to The Worst Idea of All Time, episode 49 perhaps. It's a fleshy everyone, joined in studio, aka my bedroom, by the great Tim Batt.
How good is this? Because normally when it's a fleshy, I feel like you're joining me, but I have travelled 30 hours to be here to join you. Let's do the math, actually. It is, dude. It's 30 hours. I just got in the door.
Yeah, you really did. You came in. You said hello to Ken and Gloria.
Lovely. Wait, it was Gloria here?
Yeah, Gloria's
here.
Where's
Gloria?
It's none of your business where the other people in the house are, Tim. You just worry about you and me.
No, it's just kind of weird to say that I like walk past them without even seeing them.
She might have been dozing in bed. Yeah,
true that.
You've arrived here from a flight from Auckland via Honolulu.
Great place. First time I've been here.
Oh, yeah, it is too.
Yeah, I haven't been here yet. This is awesome.
Yeah, it's not bad, is it?
I like it. I like what you got going on.
It's a little oat milk flat white I brought for you because I know that you're not allowed the forbidden cow juice.
I do say that, but then I've eaten a lot of meat and dairy in the last 30 hours.
It doesn't count when it's in the skies.
Yeah,
international waters. Who are you flying with?
Hawaiian Airlines.
You were really teeing off on some poor 7-year-old boy.
Bloody oath I was. This is a visual gag, so it's just for Guy, but I'm going to change my t-shirt because this is the t-shirt I left New Zealand in, and I've sweated through the entire thing. But I had a 4-hour layover in Honolulu, so I managed to get to a flea market.
You got out of the airport?
Yeah. Oh, big time, mate. Yeah, got some sun.
Did they check your bag through for you, or did you have to do that yourself?
I had to do it.
And so
it was actually good, because the staff in New Zealand were like, your bags will go straight through. And then when I got to Honolulu, they were like, you got to get your bag. And I was like, don't worry. The staff told me. He was like, dude, get your bag. And then it was just sitting there in the airport because they took it off the plane. I was like, thanks, bro. He was like, got you.
Yeah. You've always got to do your own bags here. These Americans.
What is that about?
They're just a fastidious people. It's really nice to see. We haven't even hugged yet. Probably for the best, given what you just described your state as. That is very big. You're swimming in that, too.
It's too big for me. It's a guy shirt.
Yeah.
That's one for you.
Oh, it's so cool.
But at least it's a clean.
It's funny that it says Hi Hawaii, because Hawaii is so, like, famously and ubiquitously associated with Aloha. Yeah. You found the one flea market t-shirt.
Guten Tag, Hawaii.
Yeah. So you're 30 hours of flying.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about. I know that at some point during that. Well, yeah, at some point I know you watched Sex and the City, but.
Sure did. Right at the end.
Save for that.
Save the little treat for last. Yeah, you got to have your veggies first before you can have dessert. Do you want to hear about this kid?
What's
made me gun shy is someone, because I kicked off on Twitter about it, and they were like, you didn't even know, Tim, they might have a disorder or something. I was like, yeah, that's fair enough, but I'm not doing it to him in person. I'm doing it on the internet behind his back.
And you were annoyed. I think, you know, everyone's on edge when they're flying, especially on the second leg of a long haul.
Oh, this kid was bananas, though. I respected it. This is how it started.
Was he an American?
Yeah, unmistakably.
There's your first problem.
I know. So here's how it all began. He came over to me because I had the aisle seat, and it goes two, then three in the middle, then two seats, right?
Yeah.
I had the one that was aisle. but against a window, right?
Yeah.
So like the aisle seat of a column that's on a window. Yeah.
What was it? Honolulu to New York.
How long was it?
Was that flight?
No. Oh, yes. Sorry, yes. The
that's
one I've
crazy,
just been on.
There were only the two. It was a twofer down on the against the window, eh? And there was like three in the middle
twofer,
console.
Twofer, then a three, and then another two.
Yeah.
Would it be funny if it wasn't two? If it was lopsided, there was like three, then two.
That would be crazy. That seems small to me.
Oh, yeah? I don't know.
Anyway.
Maybe. So I had an empty seat until quite late in the game, and I tell you what, I was fucking excited about that.
Never ever let yourself get excited.
I know, you can't count your chickens, but it was like the plane looked done, and we were getting
that
announcements coming through for people to be shutting doors and whatnot, and I was like,
no, so you got the cabin doors shut cabin doors.
Well, I think it was like a preparation to do it.
You can't even relax then.
I know. And I was just like, hey, wouldn't it be nice if this lovely seat was for me? Get a bit of kip. So the kid comes up and he goes, can I sit there on the window seat? And I was just like, yeah, man, absolutely. No, I loved it. It's Moxie. I was like, that's cool, man. Absolutely. Because at that point, I wasn't to know what he was like. I thought he was just a confident young man who wanted a window seat. So I was like, bloody go for your life, young fella. And then no sooner had he sat down and yelled out, daddy, daddy, I got a window seat, that the young woman came in and was like, oh, I think I'm here. And he was devastated.
Wait, so you helped create this monster?
Well, I didn't do anything bad. I was just like, here was my situation. The seat was empty and a kid wanted to get in it. My options were deny the child or be like, yeah, sure.
Deny the child.
That's
abide
his dad's
airline
job.
Protocol.
That's his dad's job. That's not my job.
But you,
I'm 31. I got no kids. I'm the fun uncle.
I had empathy for you in thinking that you had an empty seat next to you for a flight when it turns out you didn't.
Yeah.
You're an adult.
Let me reiterate. Empty for the longest time.
I know. But what I'm saying is you have the emotional intelligence and faculty to deal with that being taken away from you.
I do.
Yes.
Correct.
A 7-year-old boy who has spent however long fantasizing about a window seat.
Yeah.
Who moments before takeoff is convinced beyond conviction that he has been given his greatest wish, and then to experience the euphoria and excitement of that, and not moments after processing
have
all that, have it taken away from you is devastating.
It's diabolical.
And you are.
I don't think I said thank you for the coffee, by the way. This is so yum.
Yeah, no worries.
I just want to say thanks
you
for that.
You enabled that.
I was a player. There's no getting around it.
You helped orchestrate a situation that you could live tweet.
Now hold
you poked the beehive and then you started tweeting saying, wow, these bees sure are angry.
Hold the fuck up. What were my options, guy? Would you
deny?
Because then it's like, hey, can I sit in that window seat? And I'm just some guy by himself who's got an empty seat going, no, kid.
You don't need to worry. You can be a curmudgeon. That's someone else's kid. And
no,
also,
it's fucking dad's right there. This is dad's job if he wants to lay the law down. I was like, good on you, confident child. Go for what you want in life. That's a great lesson.
I'm a stickler for rules. I love abiding policies.
There is no way
I would have said
you're lying.
I would have said, hey, look, you look like a really cool kid. Certainly not someone I would denigrate and drag through the muck and the mire of the online world.
This sentence is already too long. You're a pedophile. Like, it's gone peak tong.
No, I'm not a pedophile.
No, you got to be economical with your words.
Well, actually, I'm the only person who's been on record on this podcast saying they're not a pedophile. Which would make you, my friend,
the greatest false dichotomy of all. There's two kinds of people in this world. Those who have loudly announced themselves to be not pedophiles, who are correct, and everybody
and
else. Terrible stuff.
No, I would have said, hey, possibly we'll just have to wait and see until they've closed the cabin doors, because that's the rules of the flight. You're not allowed.
I'm not his dad.
It's not about parenting. It's about responsible flying. You're not even allowed.
You're full of shit, man.
I'm not full of shit.
Because I don't think you would have acted any different in this situation.
I would have.
You wouldn't have.
I would have.
You wouldn't have.
I would have.
You would, even if you say there, if you say to a child, you go like, oh, hey, we just have to wait to see if anyone's going to sit here. You still look like a fucking monster to a 7-year old. Like an absolute asshole.
I'll be a curmudgeon to someone else's 7-year old kid. That's not my problem.
Really?
Yeah, you got.
You like, love people liking you, especially. I mean, who doesn't want a kid liking them, you know?
A kid who I'm going to have, like, a friendship with or.
Nine hours in the air, bro. That is close quarters.
Not if
you don't want to make an enemy.
Not if you're not
quick.
Sitting next to them. It's
no,
not.
No, but this is the thing. He was very close to me. That's why he went to that seat, because he was just on the other side. He was in the middle column.
So what?
So I would have had to fucking deal with that. His whole family's there. His mum and his dad and him. Bloody 9 hours of getting hate thrown at me from across the aisle.
They don't care. If you say... Because now...
No.
You created a worse situation for everyone.
Let me stop you there, because here's where you're wrong. It's their fault because they created this monster. Now, here's the thing. What I've described so far by itself, not a bad situation, like totally understandable. I might even do the same as a kid. I wouldn't have been confident enough to ask an adult stranger if I could sit in a window seat next to them.
Yeah.
But if I had that opportunity, which I thought was coming to me taken away, I'd be upset. But at some point, I'd fucking let it go, and I certainly wouldn't act like this little monster did.
Go ahead.
He's being an asshole, guy. He was screaming, "I hate you, Dad," because he couldn't get a window seat. He started running.
That should be at you.
He started running up and down the aisle saying, "I hate you, Dad." Just
after takeoff, presumably.
Just as we were getting ready to take off.
Wow.
Just as, like, that was fully the doors are shut.
That's distressing.
I think the plane might have been moving.
Yeah.
It was fucked, man. It was real fucked.
And what, so did they...
His panel didn't work, so there was a problem with the entertainment system for the whole plane.
That's grounds for an upgrade sometimes.
The kid, but it was everyone, so they didn't give a shit. They had to reboot the whole system. The kid flipped out, and the only moment of justice for that kid in the whole flight, the flight attendant came over because they buzzed the woman rather to come over. And she just like very, like, no hint of meanness or anything, because he was basically jumping up and down his chair. She's like, "You're going to have to get down."
When Americans turn to like authoritarian or disciplinary measures, it's scary.
It's so efficient.
You're going to need to get down.
Yeah, it's so efficient because
In New Zealand, we tiptoe around it. We say, "Hey, I'm really sorry, but
hey,
would it
sorry
be okay
to bother
if you,
you
sat, if you didn't jump up and down on the seat?
Excuse me, 7-year-old, I don't want to offend or potentially upset you, but would it be quite all right if you obeyed the law of aviation?"
I have less empathy for the frustration of flying with this child for you than I did from your online account.
You weren't... there, man.
I know.
You don't understand.
And I know you're on the second
half.
He
was a weird kid. No, it's not about that. I feel fine. If this was like I got a crisp night's sleep and that was the first thing that happened to me in the day, I would have acted exactly this. And actually, I acted fine. I was just bullying him online.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything to his face. I gave him a goddamn seat. I was nicer than your hypothetical self in
this
situation.
You were not nicer. Because it was not your seat to give, as evidenced by the fact someone else arrived and took the seat away from him.
I don't know. Well, it was going to happen or it wasn't. Like, what's the difference of me saying, "Yeah, go for it"? It was going to sort itself out or not.
It's
either me taking away from him or the situation taking it away from him. Why would I be the bad guy? Needlessly.
I genuinely think we have a fundamental disagreement on protocol.
You're fucked on this one, mate.
I'm not. I'm sound. I'm always sound. I've never
it's good
put
to
a
see
foot,
you,
I've
man.
Never put a foot wrong. Yeah, it's great to see you, too.
It's real good to see you on home turf.
You fly... You deal with this, you know, you sort of...
I bought a whistle thing at this flea market as well. Should I try it?
Not necessarily, no.
Okay.
You fly, and then with about 3 hours remaining till you touch down, as laid out in a plan between you and I, you boot up the old tablet.
Oh, yeah. I was using combination effort. Started on the cell phone.
Yeah.
Teed up, as you can well imagine, because you know me, a bit of a contraption.
Yeah,
to put it right in front of my eyes, almost to the extent of VR again, so I could just go hands-free, baby. Noise-cancelling headphones again.
Yeah, game changer on a flight.
Heard that beautiful jazz tones while they're doing the Halloween candy shopping again. That was good. And sat back, relaxed, kicked it with the gals.
How were they?
Terrible.
How was the screening against your most recent screening, which was the full immersion?
Very good question. Different.
Yeah. Because an airplane, it's not full immersion, but in a sense, there is an immersive quality.
It's the inescapableness of it. Not quite as bad as having the screen corrupt your entire field of vision.
I don't think anyone else describes VR as corrupting your entire field of vision.
Well, it's not always Sex in the City, but when it is a corruption of your your seeing sense.
So, better, worse, just different?
I'd say better.
Yeah.
Even with the kid.
Yeah.
Still
well, the
better.
Kid's welcome distraction. The kid is the real the world interloping.
The kid was,
interloping.
Actually. You're not like, wrong on that.
It's interesting that for
when
this,
the kid started kicking off, I'd pause it just to listen at what was happening.
It's interesting to think that for the, you know, for how frustrating that conflict is outside of watching Sex in the City, as soon as the movie's going, you welcome the interloper.
Let me ask you this. When you were seven, would you need a parent to go into the bathroom with you on an airplane?
I can't remember, but I'd like to think no.
Is that kosh? It feels too old to me. I think this is partly because I, by my parents' own admission, had a slightly neglected upbringing because I was the third child and they got a bit bored.
Your dad actually wrote
he did in your show.
In my show, I get the audience to write down moments of behavior that they're not proud of that they might wish they could change or
don't
stand behind.
Don't put the wording in there. He doesn't like the limelight, my papa, so we don't have to fully out him.
Well, if you'd like.
But he made an admission in a guy's show.
He said
regarding my upbringing. We'll leave it at that. On
he
Andy's
said
behalf.
I love Tim. He's a good boy.
but it's good. It makes you self-sufficient, I think.
You think of yourself as a self-sufficient boy?
I do, except for the fact that I still can't fucking drive my early 30s.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Well, I think you might be on the right side of history. I mean, you still benefit from the cars, but, you know.
It's like I never got riled up enough to get racist.
Yeah.
This is the wrong analogy, but you know what I mean.
It is the wrong analogy, and I know exactly what you mean. So... I mean, I guess you...
Let's talk about you.
Well,
let's talk about you for a second.
I had to get up at 6:30 to watch the movie. And that was not... Because I was just thinking, your body clock, at least, when you fly, is it's off balance to the point that it doesn't really matter when you're throwing stuff at it. But getting up at 6:30... You know,
sorry,
when you're on.
Man.
No, it was my
decision. You could have got away with later too, because I was later coming here.
But I really wanted you to walk in straight into the dojo.
And I did. Yeah. I have literally just arrived, folks. You've heard the entirety of Guy and I being together.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And so, it's just sort of like the first... You know, half hours, just it's happening, and I'm looking at it through, you know, like slightly squinty eyes as I'm trying to wake up, and that is the worst. That's the worst part to me.
Yeah,
when it is an extension of your sleep mode,
because that's not normal for you, eh?
What
first part of the day, or is it?
I've watched this movie at all hours, Tim. I'd like to think, you know, in addition to possibly having watched the movie most in the world, you know, this is a fourth straight world record for us in terms of exposure to the raw materials.
We assume.
But I'd also like to think I have, alongside you actually, I'd say we're neck and neck, probably watched this movie at the greatest variety of times.
Yeah.
And there's something about watching it first thing when you're not quite awake where it does feel inescapable because, you know, you feel weak. Sometimes when you wake up, don't know if you've ever had this, where do you try to clench your fist?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
And because your muscles or your body isn't like respond, there's some sort of delayed response between my brain and my body, I can't clench my fist as tight as I'd like to.
Huh.
And that's what it feels like with this movie, where it's like, I feel too weak to put up any...
This isn't like when your arms have gone to sleep because you sleep on the bed.
I love that feeling.
I get that every night.
I used to whack my arm against the wall when I'd wake up. I couldn't feel it. But then you can feel it later. But I had no resistance. And it was just happening, and I was cross and angry. But tempered by the knowledge that I was to see you.
Yeah.
And so there was less... As I woke up and this information dawned on me, there was less edge because I was like, well, you know, it's not at what cost. It's like, well, there's value here.
I have just bought and read, I read about a fifth of it on the plane, a book called, I think it's called How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, and it's about psychedelics. And I'm seeing stuff in there and I'm thinking, what we do... And I have to say, this season, I think the two watches a week has, out of sheer self-preservation, made us disrespect the process a little bit more. And I'm okay with accepting that, because I think we would have destroyed ourselves if we took the vigor of season one to the watches of season four. I don't think we would have survived the season. We've had to allow ourselves some little escape release, you know, pressure valves. The nature of what we do get into a bit of a trance state.
Yes. Well, I've said it before, there is a meditative, and it has to be very... It's not... that there are elements of that which are outside of our control, in that I don't get to choose when a watch feels meditative or when the movie does not sort of invade my personal space. But there are
times... You can open the doors, though.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you commit, if you're like, I'm paying attention, then you open the door to that happening, I think.
Well, I'm always, whenever there's a screen on in the background, I'm always drawn to it in a way that is beyond my control.
In a way that is childlike?
Yes.
Or similar to a cat?
Yes. And I can exercise more... self-control over myself when Sex and the City is playing, because it is there's more complexity to the relationship, which means I can distance myself from what's happening.
Sure. It's less interesting than a different screen that's not playing Sex and the City.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the value of what we have trained ourselves to do is certainly negligible outside of the context of the podcast, but it's there.
I love that you have, throughout this entire endeavor for the last 5 years, you've often referred to this as some sort of training, some sort of strengthening, and it does beg the question, what is the event that we are readying ourselves for? What is this apocalyptic happening that we will be uniquely qualified to take on?
I can't put too fine a point on it, but it's just that I have to believe that, and I don't want you poking around at that question. I have to believe that because
I'll leave it alone. I'll leave that well alone.
Otherwise, apart from the fact that we're here, I mean, the fact that we are both in a room here in Bushwick, Brooklyn, New York City, can be attributed to what we've done.
The greatest city on earth, according to the smartest man on earth, David Letterman.
Yeah, of course. There's a direct line between us watching Grown Ups 2 for the first time and sitting across from each other in this room right now.
Oh, 100%. Do you think, I don't know if I've asked you this before, do you think you would have moved to America were it not for the potty existing?
It's impossible to say. I'd like to think I would have found a way or done it eventually, but this certainly accelerated and helped enable the entire process.
That's really good to hear. If nothing else, I'm glad that, like, at a minimum, we got you to America like quicker than you would have.
Yes,
and we're mates. Those are two good things. I'm all right with anything else.
I think a cherry. The graph of our friendship though is one that fascinates and scares me, because I think we're on the upwards trend again now.
Yeah.
But it's not like... It hasn't been a steady incline. And it hasn't been like an incline and then a plateau. It's like... It's the stock market. It's the stock market. Yeah, it's real. Yeah. It's
the Enron ride from The Simpsons.
Oh, we might break even. It is a bit of that. But now, you know, the end of it, it's always there's vitamin C's graduation starts playing. There's nostalgia. There's a misty eye.
God, that's a good reference. There's a good cultural touchstone for what you're describing. I think, to be fair to us, we've thrown a lot at the relationship. Distance, incredible distance, the time zone thing, and the pressure cooker environment of us doing two watches a week, plus whenever we can fit a friend zone in, plus the Patreon stuff, means that there is no oxygen in our coming together for palship. It's work or nothing.
Well,
you know what I mean?
Do you know, that's part of why I thought if you walk in the door and we knock off an episode, that between...
Go fuck around, throw between, a pigskin between us.
Yeah, between now and this Sunday at Littlefield, June 23 in New York City, when we record a live episode in front of a live audience, there is scope for palship. So to me, this was a... As unpleasant as it may have been to be watching Sex in the City at 6:30 in the morning, I did this for you, Tim.
That's cool, man. Well, I watched it in a plane. I've been in the
Who'd
air
you do that for, though?
Hours. For both of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I watched it. I was watching it in the lounge, and Ken and Gloria, I was watching it on the screen in the lounge, and the audio, I was afraid might, because the house isn't huge, obviously,
sure,
might leak down into their room. And so I had it on quite a low... I could have just put on headphones, but, you know, for whatever reason, I couldn't be bothered. On a low frequency. And the audio mix is, at least
yes,
on the one I'm watching, is crazy.
It is.
There is no...
The music, this is...
It's not just music. It's happening on dialogue, too.
Right.
Like, it'll bound from scene to scene. One scene, they'll be whispering, and the next scene, they'll be shouting, and the volume is the same.
This is weird. I think this is true of a lot of movies, and it's so strange to me. The dynamics... But in this, you're definitely right. Crazy highs and lows.
Do you think, is that some sort of Hollywood conspiracy to get people leaning in towards the screen at certain points?
I don't know what the purpose of it is in this, because I get it in an action film, right? If you're Michael Bay and you're like, my two gears that I can use are Megan Fox wearing very little and loud explosions. Like, those are the two things you can use to play with. I get dynamics used in that context. But for like a... What do we decide? This is a rom-com? It's basically a rom-com. For a rom-com, just like... Why does it need to fucking blow the speakers out at certain points? And then you need to turn the dial up to hear other dialogue. I don't know, man. It doesn't make sense to me.
That, I think...
It's like, this is a very nerdy comparison, but this podcast and all the podcasts that I look after that I produce, I mix in mono, because I don't understand why you wouldn't, for unless it was like a really like audio production heavy show, you wanted to create a soundscape. Why wouldn't you just make it the most easy to listen to universal thing? So if someone's in a car and one of their speakers has died on the right side, they still get the exact same show as everyone else.
Except the... Half of their stereo is broken.
Well, yeah. So, but they don't miss out on one. Some people mix, like, people, one person in the left and one person in the right channel.
I love that. So that's like you're sitting in between two people having a conversation over you.
But it's not how the human ear actually hears anything. Like, if you hear it through headphones or whatever, you're like, this sucks and I want to vomit. Maybe that's just me.
No, I'm sure that there are other audio files out there. And perhaps some pedophiles who agree with you.
In some ways, I'm the opposite of an audiophile for doing it in mono. Anyway, I digress. So, you're watching in the morning, you're concerned about the noise. Did you wake any of the people in the house?
Impossible to say. I'd have to ask them, hey, Ken! Did I wake you up by watching Sex in the City this morning? Did you hear Sex in the City in your room this morning?
That's
didn't
fantastic.
Wake anyone up.
That's great. Well, we haven't asked Gloria, to be fair.
Yeah, but...
You can take it as read?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm looking for?
They're in the same room.
As right?
As read.
As read.
So I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I
feels like it was
mostly
kind of
just
washed around you.
Yeah, I just sort of mostly was thinking of you.
Aw.
I... Don't even know that I can single out.
It was a trudge.
A shining light.
It sounds redundant to say it in the late 40s, but like, fuck. Even the excitement of coming to America, seeing my boy in the flesh and getting to hang out with you in four different cities here and performing to live audiences, it's still such a
fucking trudge even then to through this thing. It's like there was a, I don't know when or where this happened, but it's a historic accident where a treacle factory exploded and all this treacle like fell into a village. It feels like that, like we're trying to get through treacle.
We lit the fuse on the treacle factory.
Yes, we did. We blew it up.
What I was sort of wondering earlier when I was talking about the graph of our friendship, and you were talking about how, you know, through across time and distance, we've still maintained this. I would love to measure the conversations we've had and the most challenging episodes we've had against the excitement, the ignorance, really, the naivete of we two fellows at the beginning of not just the whole project, but this season.
This season?
This season was born out of us missing one another and not having the framework to talk.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Why is that crazy? People fuck up all the time. We just overshot.
It's not crazy that we effed up. It's crazy that we were so short-sighted. It's crazy that...
I do stand by it, though, because I think if you just... if I'm a person who needs rule. This is like me kids going vegan, right?
Kids love boundaries.
Exactly. I'm a kid. You're definitely a kid.
No.
Kid. Okay, I'm a kid. Yeah, you can scold a seven-year-old on a plane.
Yeah.
Tell them not to get in a chair.
It's not...
I need rules.
Your chair.
If we were just like, away. We'll catch up. We'll keep talking. We'll be friends. It's too... Things fall by the wayside, you know? Don't they? They do. Inevitably.
You pulled it off with Zoe.
What do you mean?
You and Zoe are friends outside of the podcast.
My wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. You know what, guy? Good point.
How'd you pull that off?
Touche. Well,
the podcast is older than your relationship with your wife.
Yeah.
That is a fucking mind-bender.
Yeah, that's a trip, eh?
But your relationship with your wife is healthier.
I would hope so. Yeah, I should very much think so.
What was the last thing Zoe said when you were leaving the house?
She dropped me off at the airport. We had a drink at the bar.
Well, what'd she say when you were leaving the house?
Oh, I can't remember.
Are you ready?
Something like that.
Is your bag in the car?
Yeah, something like that.
And then at the bar, what was the last thing she said?
I think, I love you. I love you too.
Say
one of those two things.
Hi, guy. Say hi to guy.
Yeah, she did. She did say that. Sorry, she did. She actually did.
You didn't ferry that. I had to wrangle
that out of
you. Well,
no, you just jumped on the mic. I like opened the door. You got to push a mic in my hand.
You didn't come in and tell me that. You didn't kick the door down and say, Zoe says hi.
30 hours it took
Stop
me to get here.
Trying to drive a wedge between my friendship with Zoe.
I've been dealing with multiple time zones, getting cooked in the hot Hawaiian sun at a flea market, and then some fucking ginger kid who's busting my chops.
He's not busting your chops.
And now you're here.
You offered
giving me hell for not immediately passing on my wife's good wishes to you.
Hi, well, can you please say hi? Hi, Zoe.
I will, because she does not listen to this show. I cannot stress that enough. I don't think she's ever listened to an episode.
I respect that.
Same.
What? No,
I
maybe,
think that's good.
Do you know, sometimes when you're apart, she probably does.
No. She'd tell me. I reckon she would.
She listens to other podcasts. So.
She does. She loves podcasts.
Yeah.
Voracious consumer of podcasts. Just not my one.
That's okay.
I think it's good. Does Chelsea listen?
When she misses me, she listens.
That's cute.
Yeah, but it's the most fucked up way to pry open a window into, you know, how it's all going.
I don't think so. I think it's nice. This was... If I missed you, I would listen to the podcast.
Truly?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is unhealthy. Just get in touch.
Oh, yeah. If I couldn't. You're right.
Did you notice anything in the movie this week?
There was a... I don't even want to bring it up because I can't remember what it was, but there was a light, like a background extras line that I picked up, but I can't remember what it was. Sorry.
That's okay. Don't feel bad about it.
I guess new. But my attention was drawn again to... I think last time we were together and we watched it, we saw this guy. It's in the Valentine's Day dinner scene between Miranda and Carrie. And there's that guy in one shot who opens up. He's got a flavor saver.
Mm-hmm.
It's a soul patch.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a little bit of beard. Sort of Guy Fieri, yeah, almost-ish looking. And he's just enthusiastically telling his date a story. He's captured me. I like him. Something so endearing about a person who really, like, presents, you know?
Yeah. It's not anything, and it's actually, I still have half of Carrie's voiceover. Not to get to on this episode, but...
Why not? Follow your heart.
I don't want to record for that long.
Fair enough.
But...
Hey, Guy, we don't have a lot of episodes left. Follow your heart. Do you know what? I think we've fucked it up and we're going to only be one over what we had to do.
Not if we just watch it sometimes in our spare time.
Why would we do that?
We won't.
Yeah. We were so close though. If we just didn't do this one, we would have been a perfect 52, I think.
I like that we've gone over by one. It's a classy touch. We're classy gentlemen. I was just going to say that Carrie's line of it was the best money I ever spent, New Year's Eve and a cup of noodles, is even in writing it down and measuring it as a line of voiceover.
Where have you put the comma in there?
Bridges the gap so carefully. It is user's choice, and I believe that it is user's choice on how that line can be interpreted.
But a script was written. Where do you think Mattress Pikelet placed punctuation in that sentence? Because we've never been able to decode it, really, to tease out what he's talking about. And sorry, should we give a bit of context so other people can come in?
Oh, yeah, so it's after she gives herself, as St. Louis, a Louis Vuitton, a very disgusting patchwork Louis Vuitton handbag.
Which looks like it cost tons and it sucks.
It would have. And the part of Carrie's personality that is St. Louise is very grateful and excited for this gift that she's given herself. And then we see her excited reaction, and this is fresh in our memory when we cut to Carrie Bradshaw in her apartment in pajamas on New Year's Eve.
Literally the next shot.
And the voiceover says, "It was the best money I ever spent, New Year's Eve and a cup of noodles." And if I think about it just purely in terms of visual matching with the line of dialogue or the line of voiceover, the only logical conclusion to draw is that it is in reference to the cup of noodles.
Same.
Because that's what the visual pairing is.
Exactly.
But if the line that seems started, so insensitive to... I guess it doesn't matter. If she's just talking about herself, who gives a flying fuck, really?
But even within the mental construction of her giving a gift to herself, it is still the act of giving. So shouldn't that, an act we've just seen, supersede her buying a cup of noodles for dinner?
I know, but if you think of the value of money, if you get a meal from, say, a 49-cent cup of noodles against a handbag for $5,000 that serves the same purpose as a sack.
Yes. And
where's the better value spend?
I love that. That is a message that Mattress Pikelet wants to insert in this film at this point.
Amongst like, all of the materialism.
Yeah, exactly. Like, hey, what this movie is about two things, materialism and going back to harmful relationships. But right now, I want to take a breather and describe the value proposition of a 49-cent cup of noodles.
Yeah.
And we're going to put it in dialogue. We're going to put it on screen. We're going to put it in the plot.
I'm going to use all the power I have to endorse these noodles. And the brand name is Capo Noodles or something.
It's the real ubiquitous one you see everywhere.
It's like it's white and red colorway.
You know the ones.
Wow.
There's people who have whole track suits with that branding on it now.
Mm.
You seen those? I'd fuck with that.
You would?
Definitely.
Really?
In New Zealand, the big ones. Oh, man, when we were growing up, it was Maggi two-minute noodles. Untouchable.
Yeah.
Untouchable, their market position. And then just over the years, they got a bit decimated by Indochina Mee Goreng noodles.
Yeah. I don't know how that happened, but...
It's because Indochina... I hope that's the brand. I'm pretty sure it is. Indochina Mee Goreng noodles have a flavor sachet similar to Maggi, but then they've also got the pouch, which has three different flavors on top of the two seasonings.
Yeah. One of them is pure MSG. One of them is some sort of...
One of them is soy sauce. One of them is reconstituted onion, I think. And one's chili.
The reconstituted... Oh, yeah. That's the MSG one. That's like... It's literally... It's not even a flavor. It's literally a shine that it puts on the meal before you eat it.
And those noodles are so... I am eating so much of them at the moment. Yeah. It's crazy. Because I found out they're... probably vegan. I did a bit of research into it. And the consensus
a bit of research. And the consensus is they're probably vegan.
There's a lot of discussion on this, whether they're vegan or not. If they're not, they're only just not. But people are like, we're pretty sure they are.
My man.
Yeah, dude. Here's my shining light. It is... Oh, shoot. I just had it. It's Big's delivery of... Who put that in there? Page six. Our wedding's in page six. Who put that in there? Who put so that in there? Earnest.
Yeah, yeah. That's nice. That's a good shining light.
I loved it.
My shining light, love will keep us together, is... I can't say closing credits.
He's struggling.
I've got nothing for you.
No, that's not true.
Well, in light of your airplane anecdote, it's Brady amusing himself in the back of the cafe with a doll.
Nice.
It's the fact that for every child who needs to be taken kaka mid-flight after he's been wronged by an adult man who's promised something that is not his to promise.
Hold on, this feels like less movie and more.
There is a child who's happy to literally follow his mother around while she eats at various different restaurants and like ask for nothing.
As it should be.
Brady asks for nothing of either of his parents in this movie. That's not how it works.
No, he does. He asks for nothing because he wants for nothing. Got a roof over his head. He's well fed. He's got Batman toys. What do you want? Maybe a sibling.
I think we all know the outcome of that sort of childhood.
Well, we do, actually, yeah.
And it won't be long until everyone else does as well.
This is absolutely true. And we're at the epicenter. That's why we've chosen to broadcast here live from the center of the apocalypse, New York City.
There are no
lousy with the stuff. Rats everywhere.
No rats in the room right now.
You don't know that. Define in the room. If they're inside the walls, is that in the room?
Well, I guess there could be a rat anywhere.
What if I told you I was a rat?
No. I'd say no. I'd block you. Thank you so much for listening. Tim's here. We're going to go and get some food now.
Feels a bit short.
Go fuck yourself, Tim.
Come and see us, first of all, in New York City, and then the next night we'll be in Chicago. So it's the 23rd for New York City, 24th is Chicago. Some other date is Portland, Oregon.
26th in Portland, Oregon, and the 28th in Los Angeles. LittleEmpirePodcasts.com/live.
There is at least one secret special guest. Haven't decided if we're going to announce them or not, but you will not want to miss them, and we're not even going to tell you what city that person is in.
Oh, wow.
Just rest assured. We might announce, I don't know, I'll talk to you about it after this, but we got a very cool person somewhere. Buy the tickets, come and see us. You'll love it. Bye.
Bye.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? Like, he sort of feels me out, I feel him out. And we go for it.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.